Hey everybody, it's time for another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. Welcome back. I'm Charlie Chitwood, your host, and we got a great crew coming in today. It's all the usual suspects, of course, but we don't see everybody every week. We'll have the boss man himself, Jim Curry, athletic director at ET. Haven't seen you in a few weeks, but we're letting you work these days. How you been, Jim?
Been good. Been good. It's we're kind of winding down the spring season here, but staying busy for sure, and already starting to think ahead a little bit to fall. And actually today we'll put out the full home schedule and for football,
Oh,
including kick
goody.
times, which is great. A couple of our game designations, including family weekend and homecoming. So it might be middle April, but we're already thinking ahead to the fall.
I know. You get the schedule released, and that means there are tickets not far behind it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So season tickets are on sale now as part of that release. So we've kind of had renewals kind of open softly for a little bit here. So we'll run that process through middle of June, and then we'll get some single game on from there. But yeah, excited. I mean, we really like the home schedule. Really good. I mean, we've got Northwestern State coming in early for family day. We'll have a little bit earlier homecoming this year with RGV in kind of that first week of October. Then looking ahead, we've got Prairie View coming in. Obviously, Prairie View coming off a great season last year, another system member. They're really excited. I've got a great relationship with the AD there. We've known each other since the time we worked together back in Maryland. Maybe something a lot of people don't know, but I've been working on recruiting his daughter here as a student, not a student athlete, but a student here to ET. So, and I like our chances there.
There you go.
I would look forward to having her in blue and gold cheering against the purple and gold in late October. So, but obviously they
You're
come off a
just a
great year.
home wrecker, Jim.
That's right. Hey, that's exactly right. So
What are the holidays
unapologetic
going to be
about that
like for
though.
that girl? Come on, man.
Well, I'll well, hey, if she wants to come to ET, I'll be unapologetic about it, right?
There you go.
Then we get Southeastern and UIW. What do we got? A team that was in the playoff last year hosted in Southeastern. That's Halloween night, and so we're gonna mix up the kick times a little bit to be sensitive to that. But then obviously with Prairie View coming off the year they had, winning the SWAC and then really overtime game in the Celebration Bowl. Excited to bring them in and get after that. So yeah, I mean kick times are set now too. 6 o'clock for those first three, obviously a little earlier. So we'll kind of try to stay away from the heat, but leave a little bit of bandwidth there for folks to get after it from a tailgate perspective. And then we've got the last two will be 3 o'clock. Again, we know that we'll get a little bit, the time change will occur. We got Halloween home games, so we want to be sensitive to the kids, both the little kids and the college kids and the big kids, right? And try to find that sweet spot to allow for everybody to do a little bit of football, but then get to their trick or treat activities. So, think now starting to think a little bit about too, like game activation, how we can improve the game day experience. We know we've got some things we can do better there. So starting to already think ahead already about what that looks like. We're 5 months away from the first home game. I mean, 9-12 is the first home game, but that will come fast. I mean, it's crazy to think, but soccer, football and volleyball will all report in July this year. First time that's ever happened here. Soccer will be here July 15, is their start for a ramp up period before they kind of get into the full preseason on the 29th. So it's hard to believe, but I guess we're about like 90 days away from soccer reporting for preseason.
Hey,
Roughly.
how's Coach Ashley's knee? She was almost the walking wounded the last
Yeah,
time we
right. It
saw
kind of
her.
just
Is she
sprung up
hitting
on
it?
her and her knee was bothering her. She's been I saw her last week and she said the PT was working pretty good. So
Hooray.
you're not keeping her down, man. She's getting after it. Don't even worry about it with Coach Gordon.
No, keep moving. Hey, so talking about football and tickets, how have the season ticket sales gone? You're seeing a heightened interest in it, I'm sure. But there's always a change to in-game stuff and the deliverables y'all offer to season ticket holders. I guess I'm thinking is, is the money meeting the learning curve?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been really happy with what we've been able to do in the ticket space. Last year, not the current year we're in, but the year before, that was an all-time ticket revenue high for us across all sports.
Excellent.
We also had another home game in football, which helped. This
Mm-hmm.
year we're pacing close to, I mean, we're going to be a little bit slightly down probably in our overall revenue number, but that's attributable honestly to one less home game in football. So that makes an impact, of course, when you're looking at total revenue. So we've been really pleased about where we're at. As people can probably tell, we're trying to find that right sweet spot between where we kind of break down the barrier to access for people from a price perspective, but also, we've got some pretty high operational costs, as we get into D1 and we, now there and trying to support our programs and our student athletes with the necessary resources to compete at a high level. So, we are very sensitive to price, and then also trying to create added value for folks. So, we added the premium spots a couple of years ago, at football. That has continued to climb in terms of interest. That first year, 2 years ago with the tents, for example, that was a little bit of a new concept. Didn't have a huge sell-through rate, but the people that enjoyed it really liked it. Last year, we had a much higher sell-through rate on those tents. And so we were excited about the response we got there. The amenities are better. Obviously, there's a better restroom situation. You've got a dedicated cash bar. You've got field level access. And we knew this would happen, but then there's proof of concept, right? Where people get to interact, with the game. I mean, a guy fumbles recovers a fumble right in the end zone in front of you, and he's high-fiving you on the way to the sideline. Like that happens at the field level. We then introduce kind of a loge concept at the field level, where you get kind of your own table and chairs and you're kind of your own little box. It's open air over the top. So that allowed us to kind of capture some space and maybe try to create another opportunity there. So again, we've really, again, it's a 75-year-old stadium, right? So we're trying to do what we can in it to make it work as we continue to kind of plan and vision for the future of what football stadium would look like. But again, we've been really pleased with, I think, the response that we've got, particularly from those kind of hardened season ticket holders that we've had and who have been just loyal to us. And we're obviously grateful for that. But one thing I'm excited about for this year is, one, I like the home slate. It's a great slate of games. The spacing on it is good. The other thing about it that's really nice is that we've added a dedicated sales ticket sales individual to the staff, and I think over the last year people have gotten to know him a little bit. Jack Fee, he's a guy that came, with school in Allen. He's got family that went to ET, so he kind of has these weird kind of connections and touch points with people. But he's a great guy if you had some interactions with him. But excited about being able to kind of have a full year, a full kind of run up period for football season, because I feel like over the last couple of years we've been in a little bit of just a reactive posture a little bit more than we want to be, maybe a little bit behind in the sales calendar. And so we're excited to kind of be able to have a full kind of run up year to think about strategy, and then how we can make that a better experience, where the price points are, how we create value for fans, but also try to deliver on a great game day experience. So we're just kind of just really locked in on that right now.
And the only thing that's holding us back from announcing the entire schedule is we're waiting on those four letter guys to tell us when we're going to play the opener, right?
That's exactly
I
it.
mean, we
So
know. We just they, we got the
we've talked
memory.
about on here before. We're going to go to Mercer and play them. Excited about that opportunity, another quality opponent that's on the schedule, but another opportunity for us to open on a national linear broadcast. So, that'll be the third year in a row once we kind of get this kind of locked in. And again, we're waiting on them to sign some paperwork. But again, we actually hear that should be happening today. So we're excited about what we can announce soon in that regard. But assuming everything kind of lines up the way it's supposed to, which again, we don't have any concerns that it wouldn't at this point. That'll be the third consecutive year in a row that we open on a national linear broadcast, which honestly, I don't know if there's another school in the country that's done that. So the cool thing about it too is three different linear networks as well. So,
Right.
you know, a few years ago, we opened at San Diego State on it was True TV, kind of their first foray into college football. Then the next year, we were at SMU, obviously on ACC Network. And then, you know, this year, the potential to be on the four letters. So, you know, we, you know, that's obviously huge for us in terms of exposure for our university and our brand as a whole, but also our student athletes in our football program. And again, I think it says a lot about too about just the value that we can add and provide to folks in that space. You know, when you make TV decisions, there's a lot that goes into that evaluation. And so again, I think it just speaks highly about the way people are viewing the East Texas brand, you know, and the potential that they see in it as well. You know, I that was kind of reaffirmed for me when I was out in Indianapolis, you know, a week or two ago at the Final Four. You know, the people are paying attention to what's happening here. And there's a lot of people that see the excitement, the energy, the trajectory, and you know, they're, you know, as you get to know people in the industry, they're excited for us as well. So it's really it's fun to kind of see what's happening. And then when you start to talk about some of these future projects, you know, we've talked a little bit about what we've been doing in the planning phases for stadium and football operations facility, but then also the arena and just the exposure that we've had for the brand over the last few years. Like, again, people are taking notice. And so it's exciting to see, you know, outside our immediate area, you know, the response and the resonance with them as we continue to grow this.
Jim, you mentioned the facilities, and you've also mentioned earlier that we're starting to show recruits that new
Yeah.
facility, even as it's going up. How cool is it to be a college recruit and they say, "We're going to show you where you're going to play, but you got to wear this hard hat first."
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, it's one of those things, and you know, I really try to emphasize it a lot here. We have an incredible story to tell right now across the board, but particularly as it relates to the event center. And you know, I remind recruits and families when they're on campus and I get some time with them that there's not a lot of places in the country right now where you're going to walk on a campus and be able to be and see a new build going on. You know, obviously facilities have always been a priority across the board in Division One, but to actually have a full complete new build and be able to see it from the ground up is pretty unique. And so, you know, that's an element on a recruiting visit that again is pretty memorable. When you're walking out there in a hard hat and you know a vest and kind of getting the show. And credit to the folks on the construction crew too. You know, some of them you would think that they've been recruiting for, you know, for years, honestly. I mean, they're great at it. But they're excited too, you know, and they're excited that people are excited about the work that they're doing. So the energy is contagious, obviously, in a good way, but it is pretty special. And the progress that they're making is incredible. You know, again, we still continue to track well in terms of you know, an early spring, you know, kind of opening for the venue. So, you know, that's kind of cool to think as you're in the recruiting space that, man, not only do I get to see this and be a part of this, but I'm actually going to be able to be in it as well.
So cool. So we've got what, I think six women stayed, three or four of the guys that didn't jump in the portal to take a look around.
Yeah,
And
yep.
we're doing some work in the portal. What are you hearing? I know that Rose and Coach Rose and Coach Val, they have they're hard to catch.
They're hard to catch right now. It is an active recruiting period for sure. So portal opened the day after the championship game for both men and women respectively. And so that period is I think it's a 15-day period now, similar to football. So they're kind of getting to the, you know, kind of the halfway point in that. And then, you know, Wednesday of this week, it was the kind of signing period for people outside of the portal. So your high schoolers, you know, folks like that. And I mean, it's been kind of cool to see. You know, we talk about the energy and the trajectory here and people like taking notice. You know, as I've talked to, you know, I was talking to Val the other day. She was like, you know, the quality of the student athlete that we're recruiting now is so different in a good way compared to what it was, you know, just a couple of years ago. And so I think that says a lot about everything we've been doing here and what she's doing there. You know, when we look at what's happening with Rose, you know, again, like potentially retaining more guys than we've had in the past, as part of this process. And then from there, also the folks they're bringing in. So we're kind of all over the place in that regard. We're active in the JUCO space, we're active in the portal, we're active internationally. So that's going to be kind of a little wrinkle. I was kind of joking off air before we got on, but you know, we're going to have to probably update the pronunciation guide on the men's side for next year with some of the guys that we're recruiting. But you know, we're also getting active in some of these, you know, the European club system and guys that now can get eligibility and you know want to pursue opportunities. So this is kind of one too where like being in the rev share space in the new kind of era of college athletics, like we now have the opportunity to create similar opportunities to what like some of those Euro club systems were doing at kind of a lower level. Of course, you know, there's guys at the top end that are, I mean, it's a whole different level there. But like now now we can actually have conversations with those guys, and they see the value of being able to come here, grow as a basketball player, and get a degree too. So it's going to be interesting to see, I think, over the next couple of years, the influx of international talent into basketball as well, just generally both men's and women's. But
Jim,
again, like.
is the wall just totally removed from college athletes that can now be paid and international players that, you know, we say they played professionally? Well, all that means is they were getting paid, right?
Yeah,
So
so
it's more common ground from that perspective.
well, I'll say this. I mean, you know, I know some people were, you kind of go back to some news headlines over the past, you know, few months, particularly in college basketball. And we look at guys that were coming over from Europe and then coming in and being eligible. And then people were trying to draw parallels between that and what was happening in the G League. You know, there is some similarities, of course, so I can understand why that analysis is there. But the rule about maintaining eligibility so long as you don't exceed actual necessary expenses, like that rule's been around for a long time. We just didn't see the application of it, I think, at the same level that we've got right now, because the money in the G League and the money in Euro was higher than what you could get in the college space because you were limited to cost of attendance scholarship. So now when the opportunities for rev share and NIL have started to creep up to and in a lot of cases exceed what was available in both the G League and Euro, now guys that were evaluating those opportunities on both sides of the pond can look at this as another option as well. So that's ultimately, I think, is what has happened, is that as the benefits to the athlete have gone up, it's actually put it in the same conversation as it was for Euro and for G League. But you've got the added benefit, and this is a good thing. I mean, let's be just call it out. This is a good thing. You got the added benefit of being able to pursue a degree. And that has become the differentiator, is now that the direct benefits have leveled out. And again, those direct benefits aren't millions, right? They're not hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. They might be $40,000. They might be $35,000, right? So we're not talking these crazy astronomical numbers. Like we're talking, you know, a little more comfortable, you know, day-to-day, you know, experience for those players that were going Euro and G League. And maybe some of them getting into the six-figure range and breaching that, of course. But that differentiator is the degree. I can keep a comparable, you know, kind of quality of life and direct benefit, but get a degree. And that's a good thing.
Well, when you consider even at the highest level of college basketball, Division One, how many of those guys are not going to play professionally once their career is over?
I
I mean,
mean, yeah, I mean,
what
you know,
it's single digit percentage points,
yeah, the
right?
percentage hasn't changed. I mean, you're talking, you know, 2%, right? 1%. I mean, it's the percentage hasn't changed. The opportunities in the pro space haven't gotten more in number just because there's more benefits in the college space. So yeah, I mean, getting back to it, like, yeah, get a degree, get, you know, I mean, the other thing too, and this is a credit to the college space too, and how it's grown, is the quality of the coaching, the quality of the experience, those things, that's where the investment has come over time, to continue to grow that. And so it makes the quality of the game itself better too.
Okay. All right. So we touched on those academic factors that help attract, and now we got to brag a little bit about academic factors. The National Football Foundation, did I see that right? Number
Yeah.
one in all of FCS academically, your East Texas A&M Lions.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a pretty big honor that came out here, distinction here recently. So, for those not familiar, the National Football Foundation, like, are easily the premier amateur football organization in America. They run the College Football Hall of Fame. They award the Campbell Trophy, which is basically the football academic Heisman. Their CEO, the chairman of their board, is Archie Manning. I mean, it's a premier of an organization as you can get. So, about 20 years ago now, they've developed a program to recognize student athletes who were starters or meaningful contributors in their team, who over the course of their college career, so, all 4 years of eligibility, or I guess maybe in some cases 8 years of eligibility now, who knows, right? But over the course of eligibility, had a 3.2 GPA or higher. So this past year, East Texas had the highest number of people that received that recognition of any school in the FCS. So that's 129 FCS schools. We were number one in the country. When you look at the 265 Division I schools, so this is FBS and FCS, number two in the country. We're just behind Rutgers in that. And then when you look at all divisions, so this is D1, D2, D3, NAIA, and Sprint football, that's a 768 schools. We were fourth highest across all 768. So, obviously just
Wow.
a tremendous honor for football in terms of what they're doing. We've talked a lot on this platform, over many years, about the trajectory of what we're doing academically and the successful outcomes we're achieving there. I think this is just another example of that. And so again, credit to the football guys and Clint and the rest of the group for, really just locking in and being great ambassadors for the university. In amidst of all this stuff that we got going on, just the complexities of college athletics right now, we do talk a lot about just keeping the main thing, and that's getting a degree. And at the end of the day, like, we know we're doing a great job there. This is the same football program that over the last 2 years, top 10 in the country for number of graduates on the roster. So we've been a leader in that regard now consistently over the last couple of years. And then, as we kind of just look out for this spring too, and I'm sure we'll talk about it here soon, but graduation's just a few weeks away. And even though we've now got roster caps and everybody's roster is a little bit smaller, we're going to be at 50, like 58 graduates this spring. Our all-time high is 60, which was last spring. But again, our rosters are now, we're down 64 roster spots compared to last year because of the roster limits that went into play with the house settlement. So to maintain the level of the number of graduates that we've got year over, but see our rosters just go down in number because of roster limits, I think speaks very highly, obviously, of just the focus and the emphasis we've got there. And it's not just that they're getting undergraduate degrees too. We've got, I mean, literally just dozens of kids that are securing master's degrees as well. And so, again, just credit to everybody involved, from university leadership who helped fund and support scholarship, to our donors who have stepped up to help fund this incremental scholarship lift since we've made this move to D1, to the academic support unit, our coaches, student athletes, obviously, in particular. It just, again, it just, I think, continues to speak about the value of what we're doing here, the impact of what we're doing here, but also too, I mean, part of the value in making that move from D2 to D1, and how we've got greater emphasis in the academic space. There's greater focus on degree progress and hitting key benchmarks along the way to maintain eligibility. And then I think too, a little bit of that is just the type of student athlete that we recruit now. They're hyper focused on not just the athletic space or the academic space, but both, right? And trying to achieve at a high level. So couldn't be prouder, obviously.
So who gets to go tell Dr. Rudin all this good academic news? Do you send him an email? Do you send him a text? Do you call him or do you go knock on his door?
It's just one of those that hey, FYI.
That
Yeah.
is awesome stuff.
But needless to say, he was obviously really excited, and we get great support from campus. Just
Yeah.
the President Rudin and our provost Tammy Vakahasi, and obviously our CFO Tina Livingston. I mean, it takes the whole university to make outcomes like this possible, because part of it is resourcing it, supporting it, creating just the culture and the environment, in the classroom, but from the classroom to the field, through the department and the university as a whole, coupled with the faculty. One of the things that I don't know if we've ever talked about this on here before, but one of the things that we started to do a couple of years ago at our grad reception is that we would ask student athletes to identify a professor that, had an impact on their academic journey here at East Tech, and invite them to the ceremony and recognize them as part of that, and really just share with them why they were impactful in that journey. And I can tell you that alone, it's a very, it's not a, it's easy to execute because all we're doing
It's
is just asking
impact,
people.
though.
But it, man, I'm telling you, the impact and the way that this faculty feels when they hear those things. Yeah, I think they know it, maybe innately, but like, to hear it and tie it back to a student, particularly at the moment that they're getting ready to kind of, walk the stage and achieve something pretty impactful, obviously, in their life journey, it means a lot. And it is cool to see. It means a lot.
We talk about winning on and off the field. This is winning. This is what winning off the field looks like.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Those
No
kind of
doubt.
numbers. Jim, we've been yakking for a while. I mean, it's your show and we don't have a time limit, but what else we got? That's some great stuff.
Oh man. So
Let's see,
what do we
Spring
got here?
Fest
We
is
got
this
Spring
weekend.
Fest this weekend. So bunch of contests. We got volleyball, exhibition volleyball, we've got softball, we've got obviously spring football. So your first opportunity to kind of see a whole bunch of new faces out there, but exciting new faces. To say the least. So we're excited about Spring Fest. There's a ice cream social with the student athletes and coaches afterwards. We're watching weather. We
Yes.
know that that's a thing for Saturday, but we're watching it. We'll stay in communication with everybody there. Getting ready to go to golf next week. Men's golf, obviously women wrapped up here with a fifth place finish yesterday, but excited for the men. I think they got a real shot. I'm sure you'll talk to Brian here soon. And then, getting ready for a bunch of senior days, a bunch of senior days coming up. Track next week, softball and golf the following week. So it's hard to believe
Track,
that
we're
it's
going to get
here.
to talk about track probably for a while, aren't we?
Well, yeah, track might be senior day, but I got a feeling we're going to be talking about track for about 2 more months. So we'll save
Outstanding.
that one for later, I suppose.
All right, Jim, it is always good to visit, whether we're doing the show or just sitting around.
Sounds good, man.
See you when we get back to the MRS, and that'll be tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Softball and all of the
Softball.
rest of Saturday's
And
festival.
then Saturday.
Let's line up here. We're going to let Jim get back to work. We'll take a break and come back. Got Coach Dolhide to talk to. We have George Pincock to talk to. And there's somebody else on the list. Oh, yeah, Brittany Miller. Softball's still going, too. Hey, that girls fought hard down here in San Antonio the last couple of days. They get to wrap it up at home starting tomorrow. Next 2 weeks, softball's all in Commerce. Welcome back, everybody. Time for some more Inside Lion Athletics. What a visit with Jim. We just, when it's his show, you can talk as long as he's willing to, right? Hey, we got Brian Dolhide on now, the men's and women's golf coach. Women just back from the Southland Conference Championship tournament that was held at Kissing Tree over in San Marcos. Coach, a little bit of improvement, a little bit, but not quite where you want it yet, right?
No, definitely not. It was a bit of a disappointing season, I would say, and I think the girls would agree with me. I think we have a lot of talent. We just never really put it all together all at once. We had a couple of good rounds here and there from individuals, but it was tough to get all four or all five to play pretty well the same round. Was pretty great that we improved each day out there. And on that final day, we moved up a spot, so that felt good. But yeah, we'll put in some work over the summer and get right back at it in the fall.
Hey, all it takes is one good shot, and you're hooked and feeling better about your game, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
Yeah. So what were
it'll.
some of what were some of those good shots that our team had? And we've got one senior to report on, Marie Nair. Senior
Yeah.
day is a little different for the golf team, right?
Yeah, it is. We don't really have a whole like a home tournament, so we'll be doing a celebration at the softball game here next week. But yeah, she finished her final round one over par, which was our second best score of the final round. So that was a good way to go out, and she's been very helpful to our team on and off the course over the last couple of years. So she'll definitely be missed. And yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the guys aren't done. They have their conference tournament coming up, starting Monday, I think, at Comanche Trace in Kerrville. Or did I get the day wrong?
No, yeah, we're headed out on Saturday. We got a practice round Sunday and then Monday,
Okay.
Tuesday, Wednesday for the tournament.
So the prospects for the guys' side, might be a little bit different.
Yeah. We've had a pretty solid season. There's been a couple of ups and downs, but a lot more ups, and really excited for this coming week for sure. The guys are pretty jacked up for it as well, and looking to post some good scores out here. We had a solid showing last year, and adding Davis to the lineup really helps as well. So really excited for this upcoming event.
Yeah, a guy that's playing as well as Davis has been. I still love that West Texan part in him. It's just he may have played, grew up in Midland and played in all that wind out there. It teaches you different parts of the game,
Yeah,
real
no doubt.
young.
Yeah, and this course, it sets up really well for us. So, yeah, really excited for that, and looking for some improvement from last year.
Is there some up and down on that Comanche Trace course? I know there's up and down in Kerrville, but I don't know if they laid a golf course on it.
Yeah, the clubhouse sits on a massive hill. And it's pretty undulated, so you'll definitely have to take a look at your yardage book out there and make sure you know how much uphill, how much downhill it is.
It's if you got to walk, uphill's the one
Yeah.
you don't want, I think. But that they're young, they can handle all that.
Yeah,
So
they're not.
talk about the rest of the field. How do we stack up against the Southland men's field this year?
Stack up pretty good. I'd say I don't know for sure, but I think UTRGV might be the number one ranked team, Lamar two, and then we're right behind Lamar. So stack up pretty well, and we haven't seen either of those teams all year, so should be a good one.
So when they draw or put the field out on the course, how do they determine that? Who plays with who?
Based off of ranking, so the one, two, and three you'll probably play together, the four, five, and six, and then the last. So
Yeah.
yeah, they'll
Okay.
just base it off ranking.
So you're saying the teams, I mean, all the Lion foursome is they'll all play together? Is that, or are you talking
No,
about the one, two, and three teams play together?
correct. The one, two,
Okay.
and three, and then all of our ones play together, all of our twos play together, and so on.
So we were talking about the field a little bit, and then I think I wanted to ask you, what's the last thing you tell players before they go out on the day?
Yeah, I mean, it's
How much
all.
wisdom can you impart in them, coach?
What's that?
Then how much wisdom can you impart to them at the last minute, right?
I mean, everything's really done at practice. You know, all the guys put a lot of pressure on themselves going into a tournament. So there's no reason to give added pressure. I think, you know, we have our practice round for a reason. We go over, all the goods and all the bads about the golf course and where we would prefer to be and where we probably wouldn't want to end up. So really just making sure everybody sticks to their own plan because everybody's game is a little bit different, and goes out and executes properly.
So it helps a little bit that you've got people that have played on this course before, right?
No doubt. Yeah, it's really important. You know, we were all able to see it last year, except for Davis, and he'll have the practice round and he's played out there before. So, yeah, we've been able to see the golf course. Obviously, conditions and everything, they change year to year, but all in all, I think everybody has a good idea of the golf course.
All right, man. So last thing, and we'll let you go, but what have they got to do to advance beyond the conference championship as a team and as individual players?
Gotta win, man. Gotta win. So, yeah, I think, you know, holding off on big numbers, and we make a bunch of birdies, so I'm not too worried about that part. I think, you know, keeping the ball in play, taking your medicine when you need to. Like if you're in a bad spot, let's make sure we get out of that bad spot and maybe take a bogey or a good putt for par and then just on and keep chugging along. So I think all the guys are pretty great mentally out there. We're a bit of an older team, so they all have a pretty good mindset coming into it. And yeah, we're all really excited for this week for sure.
So, if the is there the possibility that a medalist from the team might advance farther than his own team would go in the playoffs?
Yeah, there
Yeah.
is. I mean, there's always a possibility. We're looking for our team to advance, so that's the main goal at the end of the day here.
Top team or top two or top three to an NCAA regional? How many go?
First place, just first place.
Just win, baby. That makes it real clear, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, Brian Dolhide, thanks so much for your time again. It's always good to hear how the Lion track or golfers are doing. One of
Yeah.
these days, we'll get out there and keep them on the course longer. Help me find mine. All
For sure.
right, man. Brian Dolhide, everybody, head golf coach. Men are going to be headed out this weekend, going to the Southland Conference Championships at Comanche Trace outside of Kerrville, Texas. Good luck to them. Take
Thank
a
you.
break right here and come back with more Inside Lion Athletics. Don't go too far. Hey, folks, we're back with more Inside Lion Athletics, joined now by head track and field coach George Pincock. Coach, it's a busy time of year for you. We're talking about playoffs and postseason elsewhere, but the thin-clad Lions still have a little bit of season before them before the conference.
Yeah, you know, we're about halfway through our outdoor season.
How'd everything go in College Station this last weekend?
Another really good week for us, you know. I don't know if we had any marks that were surprising to us or any marks that were kind of a, you know, a little further, a little faster, a little higher than we expected. But we had a lot of marks that, you know, reinforced what we had already done, but probably in conditions that were more favorable, meaning that, you know, they were wind legal, moved on to a regional list, those type of things. So from that perspective, I was really, really happy with the team and how they performed in College Station.
Gosh, I didn't even think about until you just mentioned it. The first thing that a golfer does sometimes on the tee box is pick up some grass and throw it there and see how the wind's blowing. There's a little bit of importance to that for outdoor track and field.
You know, for qualifying purposes, you know, we had run some good races and we'd seen some good times, but we had some wind conditions that were a little too much to get on the NCAA list. So, you know, again, it was a relatively windy weekend in College Station. But I think fate was on our side, and most of our races that we had were right there at the legal limit and put us on those lists.
Great stuff. Does that the wind affect, I mean, I know it affects, but do they have an impact on the time, the official time? For like, say, a quarter miler who's going to have the wind at his back part of the race and run into it in the other.
I mean, I think it does. Like, it's a little bit more psychological, right? Like, you know, depending which way that wind is going down that home stretch, it can get in your mind a little bit. Coming home can be a little hard. And it's a little bit of an individual. Some people, it doesn't bother them. Some people really think about it. But, you know, it's going to impact time, right? And at the end of the day, no one wants to really run in a super windy headwind coming down after 400 meters, legs burning and ready to fall over.
So that impacts the throwers just a little bit as well, and even the jumpers. We've talked with Janelle a little bit about the wind and how it impacts her jumping. But is there a wind-aided discus record or a wind-aided shot put or hammer?
Well, they don't calculate wind into any of the records. However, depending if you're a right-handed thrower or left-handed thrower, the direction of the wind can really help you, right? And you know, we think a lot of the times on the track that a tailwind helps us. Sometimes in the discus, that tailwind will push the wind down or push the disc down. So sometimes in the disc, a little bit of a headwind or a little bit of a crosswind, and you can kind of get that front edge of the disc up, kind of gives it a little extra lift and lets it fly a little further. So you think about the winds a little bit different in the throws. Same with javelin. It's actually different for javelin too. You know, the men and the women, the weight, the handle, the length of the javelin, one is a little bit more preferable for a tailwind, the other is a little bit of a headwind. So it's just kind of the nuance of the sport.
I had no idea that there would be different types of javelins for a windy day or a calm day. That's incredible. And on the discus, going back to that, with the dish being able to either gather wind or get impacted by it, how you release it from your hand is going to determine everything real fast.
I mean, you almost know. I mean, a good thrower will know as soon as it comes off that last finger, whether they got it or not. You can see it just kind of get up on that edge or get down, and you'll know where it's going quickly.
All right. Well, shot puts like a cannonball, so they probably have a little wind resistance, but they got a little more force behind them, just with good old gravity. So, you've got some headed out west this weekend. Some of your women teammates, a couple of distance runners, and our high jumper headed out to LA for two different events.
You know, I think we got a good group of girls. You know, that's three school record holders right there. Sine came in, started her season off with two records in a 24-hour period. And Nete seemed like every time she touched the track this indoor season was breaking a record. And then Romy is our discus record holder. So really good opportunity for them out in California. A couple meets in the LA area. that really cater to the events that they're in. So we took the opportunity and are sending them out there, and hope that we come back with some really good performances.
Now, we've talked over the last couple of years about how there's, some meets are more prestigious than others, or they're known for those events, just like you're talking about, where they do them really, really right.
Yeah.
Is there, on a national scale, when you send out some out west, what are they gaining competition-wise, going up perhaps against a different field of athletes?
Yeah, I mean, the Brian Clay Invitational this week, it's going to be the cat's meow of distance events. A really unique setup, how they have their race schedule, how they set up each heat. They have pacing lights on the track. So every single race is really catered to each individual group of athletes they put on the track there. So, majority of your qualifiers for NCAA regionals are going to come from most likely that Brian Clay meet or one of the other meets in the LA
Okay.
area this week.
So incredible. So, all right, you're gonna educate some people now. Pacing lights. I have it in my mind. I mean, you said they have pacing lights on the track. Essentially, it's a long loop. I mean, it goes all the way around the track, and the lights progress at the speed of what? Track record, national record? How
Yeah,
many
so
different.
again, there's some ruling, and for a track to be certified and to have some records set, there needs to be an aluminum rail along the inside of lane one. And probably 7 or 8 years ago, someone started integrating some LED lights inside that rail that was programmable, and it's gained a little popularity. And not a cheap system, but if you look
I'm
at some of
sure.
the World Athletics Diamond League meets, they've started using that in some races where there's world record attempts or area records. So at this meet out at Brian Clay, kind of based on who's in the race, they set that pace light at a certain level, and it stays green. And if they're with it, it's really easy to say if the green light gets ahead of them. Really easy to kind of tell that they've fallen off pace. So kind of a unique thing, great for the athletes, but also great for the spectators watching, right?
Sure.
You can kind of get a
That,
gauge of where things are going, and easy to get into the action.
wow, that's really cool. I think I may have seen that once or twice, but it's been so long that I haven't even thought about that sort of thing. Was there any kind of system before, other than the running clock on a scoreboard or a monitor somewhere, that let the competitors know where they are during the race?
I mean, I think you have some strategic points on the track where the athlete can kind of look and see a scoreboard. But nothing is easy and is consistent throughout the entire race is that pacing light.
Wow. Is that something you want at your new track and field?
I would love it. So I would not say
That's
no.
really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so after the women come back from the coast, then it's what we got? Houston, Arkansas, and then come mid-May, and that's not very far away. It'll be time for the Southland tournament already.
We kind of just talk within our program. The conversations that we're having is that, we're kind of wrapping up what we call early season, and everything is now kind of championship focused. You're not going to really get any more fit. There's no need for that. It's really just making sure that we're race ready, well rested, healthy, championship mode.
How do you keep sharp in championship mode, sharper than you did earlier in the year?
I think rest becomes a little bit more of a priority.
Okay.
And then the quality of what you do at practice, volume comes down quite a bit for most people. And things generally become a little bit faster. Right. So, instead of 5 reps of this, it may be 2 reps. So they've got to be quality. We've got to look right. We've got to execute all of those things.
And if you only do two reps, that's pardon me, similar to what they might get at a meet, because there's only going to be two chance if somebody scratches on the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Get out of the blocks. Well, we know our lions get out of the blocks just fine and over the bars, and can't wait to see how the results go. And next week, when we talk about the West Coast trip, see how our leading ladies did out there. That's going to be fun stuff.
I hope we have a good conversation next week.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will, George. All right. George Pinnock, head coach of Lion Track and Field. Women are going to have three of them out on the West Coast, but they've got bigger meets coming up, Houston and Arkansas, and then it'll be the conference tournament. It just goes by real quick. We thought we were just doing like fall sports a week ago. I know.
Goes by
George
fast.
Pinnock, it's always a pleasure, my friend. We're going to line up here and take another break. Brittany Miller is due up next. Welcome back, everybody. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. Man, this one's gone by fast. Long time with Jim, and then we get coaches, and now we've got Brittany Miller, head coach of Lion Softball. Okay, so let's go back. San Antonio, the wins didn't come, but there were very, very much more in these games, all three of them, and had some cracks. The bats showed up. Seems like a lot of, well, not a lot. I'm not going to do that to you, but it seems like some of the rallies or potential rallies, there are too many of them with two outs.
Oh, yes. I mean, if we eliminate the big inning in any game that we've played, we're right back in the game. We're right there with, whoever we're playing. And this weekend, we were able to keep the score close and our bats. I mean, we were finding ways to put the ball in play and making things happen and stringing some stuff together. So at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like the last 2 days, if we continue that the next eight games, we give ourselves a chance and, potentially being able to squeak into conference tournament. So,
Right. It's gonna now the reality in that though is the Lions are gonna need a little bit of help, right? We're three or four games back of the team we need to catch, which is A&M Corpus, I believe.
I think so. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, this is a huge series for us. We got to come out against Houston Christian and, put everything together. When you pitch well, when you play defense, and, we got to drive the ball. So if we come out and we gotta kind of just put the ball in our court and take care of business these next three games, and then, hopefully we are in control. But if we're not, we just gotta put our best foot forward the next eight games as we continue to build this foundation of what the program is gonna be, in future years. So, regardless, it's an important eight games.
No doubt. And coach, when there's something to play for, it's not like you're closing out against the two top teams in the conference. There's opportunity here. And you get enough over Houston Christian, coach, and you're out of the cellar.
Oh yeah. No, if we come out and take care of business this series, we put ourselves in a good position, and McNeese is having a down year this year, and that's our senior weekend. So, I mean, our seniors want to come out and they want to win every game, but at the same time, like for their last conference series weekend, they'd want nothing more than to play McNeese and give ourselves the best chance. So, I'm excited about the next, two series and then our midweek against Arlington, that doubleheader. But, the seniors are doing a good job continuing to move forward and push through and sticking to the process, and the young ones are doing their job. So it's exciting.
Coach, in the series here in San Antonio against UIW the last couple of days, defense was a thing, a sign of strength on the team. And we've talked a little bit about some of the bats came around and you were getting production where it hadn't been getting much before.
Yeah, our defense looked really good. I mean, there's a lot of balls in the air that we tracked down in the outfield. We made some really good plays on the infield, and our pitchers gave us a chance by keeping the ball in the park, and that's what we asked them to do. I mean, we had a couple that went over, but, when we have a majority of the balls in play that we have a chance to make a play on, they did a good job. So, excited to see that and see how that's going to be this weekend. And also, our bats. We had a couple that were struggling and kept making adjustments and found a way to get on and produce. So, we're excited about what this is going to be this weekend.
Charlie Angers probably played shortstop for about half of the games that we've seen to broadcast, and I don't think anybody on the team has a stronger arm than her. And B, she's really kind of settled in over there. She made some really nice plays over the last couple of games.
Oh yeah, she has. She's got a strong arm. She's definitely got one of the strongest arms. So she's done a really good job over there.
Your outfielders were busy, but they put on some pretty good shows with their leather work. And be it Bella Arzola in center, you had Jalen Olgan playing in left over the series, and then of course KK Kosic anchoring right field.
Oh yeah, they were tracking him down. Some hard shots that were straight over their head that they weren't able to track down, and some of the short ones that you kind of question whether they're going to get to or not, and they did a really good job. Like, just if they put the ball in the air and keep it in the park, we give ourselves a chance for that outfield to be able to go catch a ball.
Well, Tatum Wright, she continues to hit the ball well, but I think we were laughing a minute ago off camera about how high that one she hit yesterday. And I had to know, and you didn't think it was going to go out. I didn't think it was going to go out, but it stayed up in that jet stream, and all of a sudden, the outfielders quit giving chase.
Oh yeah, that got up in that wind and it just kept carrying. Wasn't like Aaliyah's, that was a shot. It got up in that wind and it just carried, and I think the outfielders were a little surprised.
Yeah, and Aaliyah's, to credit to her, she was pretty strong at third. The hot corner is really becoming more and more hers.
Oh yeah, she's done a good job over there, and hitting shots to her at practice, and she's been really locking down. So in games, it's been fun to be able to see her just translate it. So she's doing a good job over there.
Behind the plate, Gracie Alejo, she's been opening eyes with one of the top gunners in the nation, not
Oh yeah.
just the Southland Conference or anywhere else, throwing out would-be base runners. And then Haley gets the chance to show off her arm yesterday, and guess what? She threw out another one.
Oh yeah, Gracie's doing a good job. Haley's doing a good job behind the plate. That's definitely one of our strong suits, is our catching and being able to control the game, the run game. And hey, actually, Gracie had a really good breakout week the last 2 days offensively. It's been good to see. So, they just keep tag teaming back there, and I think we'll be good for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, you can judge your pitchers solidly or solely by their numbers, or you can see who's starting to figure things out late in the year. Talk about the way the staff's going right now.
No, just keep telling them, like, eliminate the wins and losses, eliminate your record, your ERA, all those things. Every game, you're just winning pitches. Let's win more pitches than we lose. And so, Emma Olsen's doing a good job. She's coming around, she's hitting our spots and, getting us those easy outs. Tori's continuing to do her job and, getting those easy outs and the good change of speed helps, everybody. I mean, at the end of the day, we're coming out, they're competing. They did a really good job the last 2 days competing, and continuing to move forward. So excited about this weekend.
All right, it's a big series against Houston Christian, and unfortunately, weather may come in and mess up everybody's current plans a little bit. But what, 5 and 7 tomorrow,
Yes.
and then at noon on Saturday?
Noon on Saturday.
All part of that big Lions Sports Festival all weekend long. You're gonna have to keep moving.
Yes.
Hey, we've got Tuesday next week. We're gonna step out of conference for a day, and in comes UTA. How does that doubleheader look to you right now?
Excited about that one. It's always nice to play other in-state, out of conference games, and we continue to play them every year. They're scrappy. They're going to come out. They're going to compete. I know they have a couple good wins over the last couple weeks, but should be a good test for us and preparation for us to get ready for McNeese after this weekend. So it'll be
All
good.
right. Very good. All right, Coach. Hey, thanks. I know you're not too long off the bus, so let y'all, and you've got a games tomorrow. So we'll let you get back to that, but thanks again for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to line up here, everybody. Hey, this is it for this week's edition. Be sure and join us next time on Inside Lion Athletics.